share something that I do periodically. I thought maybe I'll go ahead. I actually had it planned to share more in my sermon last week, and I didn't get it done. But that is to talk to you just for a moment here about Connect. Some of you that might be visiting with us for the first time, this is something I want to share also with just our visitors, and that is that as a church, we are going through the Bible. It's going to take us 3 years. And the way we're going through this is we're reading a chapter a day, and then we just either take note of it, you know, make some notes or something like that, but then at the end of the week, then I preach on those seven chapters that we just read. You also can get signed up and be part of Connect Groups, what we call Connect Groups, and that is there's just a bunch of groups that meet throughout the week. Most of them meet on Wednesday, I think, but there's some other options as well. And they just get together for like an hour, hour and a half, and just talk about what they read for that past week. And so this is just a really cool thing that I think God has brought to our church. I'm super excited about it. We are in the middle of going through Isaiah right now. And we also, every 6 months, we start anew in the sense that we have new sign-up sheets so you can make an, you know, if you need to adjust your schedule and pick a different Connect group, you can do that. And then we just kind of put out our new material for that week or that next 6 months if you're wanting to do the Connect group. But anybody can jump in wherever we are and just start journeying along with us, you know, reading a chapter a day. Anyway, so just wanted to kind of highlight that. So we are in Isaiah, and our readings this week, or at least what I'm going to be preaching on, is 31 through 37 of Isaiah. So, you know, in our journey through life, we are really trying to figure out, like, what is it that I need in my life to bring stability and security in my life? And there's a whole lot of things that we have, you know, that are offered to us to try to bring this security and stability. And one of them, and the one that I'm going to save here for a moment, is obviously Jesus, right? And I know that he's at the top of your list. That's probably why you're sitting here today. So we're going to set him aside just for a moment. But what would be some of the other things that we as people journeying through life could try to provide security, protection, you know, these kinds of things, refuge in? Well, I made a list, okay? And so these are some of the things that we could probably find that kind of thing in. And that one, the first one is finance, right, on my list here, apart from, again, Jesus. Because there is a sense that there is, you know, if you have money and you are, what do we call it? In fact, if you have enough money, we call it financial freedom. And it feels like, and we call it freedom because we feel like we are financially secure. We are financially stable. Anything comes our way, we probably, for the most part, can handle it financially. And so we find security in that. We also find security in relationships. You know, we realize how important relationships are, so we find security in relationships of our family. They are important to us. They're dear to us, and so we are invested in them. Or even in romantic relationships, right? We try to find security in that. We also find security in material possessions. You know, like if we own our home, we feel more secure. In fact, that's like the American dream, right? To get to where you can own something so then you feel more secure. But there's also just, you know, things too. You know, it's not just home, but it's also material things. Like if we own a nice car that runs and it actually isn't breaking down all the time, we can feel more secure because we have something that actually gets us from point A to point B. Health and well-being is a place that we find our security, right? If health is good and we feel good, then we feel more secure. If health is bad, then all of a sudden we feel like we're on shaky ground. And so we seek health and well-being. We seek social status and accomplishments, you know. That's why we push education so much. You get a good education, then you got something, you know, to stand on, a stability. And so we push that kind of thing. We push government and social systems all the way from welfare to who's going to be in the, you know, in the office of the presidency, because all of those things bring stability or instability, depending on what it is. And so insurance is something that we, if we have insurance, can you imagine? I have, you know, car insurance, I have health insurance. If I didn't have to have any insurance, I would be a very rich man, I think. It seems like everything goes to those, but I have all of the insurances that, you know, that a person needs. And so there is some stability in that. There is some security that I feel like I have because of that. And so we seek those kinds of things. Personal skills and abilities, right? The more things that you have the skill and ability to do, the more you feel like you have security and you are stable and have that stability. Technology and innovation, just ask Iron Man. He's not real, by the way. But ask Elon Musk. That's kind of our Iron Man of the day, right? Some people seek out technology because technology seems like it can bring stability in our lives as well. So that's a pretty intense list. And so what I'm trying to say, though, is just this. The sermon isn't about putting your faith and trying to find stability in all those areas that I just listed. What God wants is for us to find our stability and our assurance and our foundation in Him. Now, none of those other things are bad, and he's not saying, you know, don't have insurance or, you know, or don't have a car that runs well or, you know, seek, you know, a good job that brings financial stability that way. But what he's saying is that I have to be the guy that you are really trusting in. You know, that I have to be the one who is who you are actually going to. And so we are going to explore that because that's what we found in our readings, or at least what I discovered in our readings this past week. And so here's the first one that I want to point out, and that is the risk of trusting earthly solutions. It's really kind of probably as a text, it's the dangers of going to the Egyptians for their security, right? In Isaiah 31, 32. So we have to be careful that we are not trusting in earthly things and earthly matters. And so 31 and 32 just addresses this tendency that Israel, what they would do is they would have a hiccup or they'd have, you know, somebody that was trying to come against them, and where did they go? Instead of going to God for that security and the ability to overcome this, they would just go to Egypt because they were a powerhouse. They were going to be the people who would deliver them physically from this, you know, these oppressors, these people who are trying to destroy them. And so we find in Isaiah 31, verse 1, look what it says. It says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemanship because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord." So woe to you that you don't go to God for your help, but you go to the powerhouse. And it is not hard to take what is going on there and to put it into our world, right? I mean, how many countries are dependent upon the powerhouse of the United States to fix or rescue them when they're really in a bad space? Now, if they're not in a bad place, they're like, hey, stay out of my business. We don't want you here. But all of a sudden, they have enemies. Oh, hey, come be my friend. What do you need for me to do to be, you know, to be all right with you, kind of thing. And so there's just this. That's what was going on here. There was this tendency that Israel was always going to Egypt for help. You know, grab their chariots, grab their horses. And so the verse just highlights that they misplaced their trust. And we can do this because we have so many things around us saying, put your trust in me. I will give you the stability that you need. And God is saying, no, I am your stability. I'm the one that needs to come your way. And that's why we are glued to the TV most of the time, right? Whether we're watching Fox or CNN, whether we're on, you know, social media, this platform or that platform. In fact, what are they always telling us, no matter who you are tuned into? You better be afraid because you don't have very good stability unless you trust in who? and what we're telling you, right? Isn't that kind of the craziest thing? When all the trial stuff was going on, I was listening to both sides. I go to CNN and listen to it. And they were just like, you better trust what we're telling you because you're about to lose all your stability. And you go to Fox and you better trust what we're telling you because you're about to lose all your stability. But this is just the way that it is with everything. There's all this fear that they put into your life. Why? Because if they can pump you with fear, then they can get you to trust them to be the solve, you know, what solves that fear. In fact, I kid you not, I bet you can find a commercial today that will terrify you, those of you who have hair on your head, that you might be losing your hair. Like, they will scare you, and then they will tell you, but we have a solution for you, right? It's not that bad, guys. You just have to, I'm just telling you, they'll tell you, you don't want to look like the preacher, but hey, there's worse things out there, let me tell you. So, but that's the reality, right? And that's what was going on here. And Isaiah is trying to help us understand that do not fall for it. It's all a gimmick. Who you need to put your trust in is God. And so Egypt symbolizes the world, and the world offers a solution. And just don't buy it. So who knows? One of these days, I might run for president. The way I look at it is I got at least 40 more years to decide if I want to or not, right? So if I were to do that, though, I already know exactly how I'm going to do this. I'm just going to make sure that I tell everybody every time I get a chance that if you put your trust in this person over here, you will have no stability at all. The world will come to an end. It will for sure... they will destroy it for sure in 4 years. You've got to trust me. And I think that I'll probably make a pretty good go at it, but we'll see. But I don't know if I'll do that. You know, the thing is God is portrayed as the true source of strength and refuge. As no matter where we pick up the Bible and start reading, this is what God says, and then that is what happens, right? When the smoke clears on every episode that we go through in the Word of God, God is always the victor, and it always happens the way that he says. And you'd be like, well, yeah, but he wrote the book. But yeah, it is just history, too. I mean, and it's not just here. It happens in every life situation that I've ever encountered. Just give it time, and God will be shown to be the only stability that is worth trusting in, the only one that actually has refuge. So in Isaiah 31, verse 3, it says this, the Egyptians are man and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. But the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and they will all perish together. So it's just pointing out again that the only place to put trust is God. I spent probably the greatest part of my ministry just trying to convince people that. And that's a tough thing. When they have so many things that they can try to build their stability up on, the list that I just shared right at the beginning. And to tell them that, look, Jesus says if you will build your house upon him, then when the storms of life come, you will be able to withstand it. Jesus says that if you trust in him, you will find life. But if you trust in yourself or in the things of the world, that you will lose your life. Jesus says that if you come to him, you who are weary and heavy laden, he will give you rest. Right? He is constantly just saying these things, and I'm constantly just pleading with people to just trust Jesus for your stability. Most of the time, they just don't buy it. They're like, and maybe it's just because, but to submit to Jesus, that's just too hard. And maybe that's the problem, I don't know. But anybody that doesn't, eventually they either come back or they just eventually just kind of go back into this destructive nature. And the enemy comes and the enemy captures and the enemy devours. Isn't that what Peter says? Satan is like a roaring lion seeking to devour anyone that he can. And he will have his way unless we trust in the Lord. So, the Bible is full of this, just reminding us to do that. Here's the second thing that I see, and that is to find true security in God's kingdom. Like, I know this is almost like the same thing, and it really kind of is, but just the first one is, you know, don't risk putting your trust in worldly solutions. But this one is just slightly different in that is, well, then what do? Well, we find our security in God's kingdom. And this has kind of been played out in like Isaiah 33, because you see this instability of earthly powers. You know, they just are, they think that they have it conquered. The Syrians just were so confident they were going to come in and destroy Hezekiah and do their work. But everywhere you go, there's just this instability in these kingdoms. But there's not that ever. God is unshakable in his kingdom. And so for us to put our hope and trust in this kingdom is super important. In Isaiah 33, verse 2, it says, O Lord, be gracious to us. We wait for you. Be our arm every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble. And so it just underscores like the reliability of God and how he is always stable in all of his ways. And Isaiah 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted. For he exalts on high, he will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your time, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. And the emphasis here is just that God reigns, and he is marked by justice and righteousness and everything that is good and strong and stable. He is always there. And nations will come and go. And this one will be high and in charge for a while, and then there will be another one that will rise up. I mean, you know, we always talk about, but Rome would always seem eternal for a while, and then they are no more. And, you know, we can trust in the United States, which is a great place, but we've only been here 200 years, and we think we've been here forever. And we think we'll be here forever, ever more. And the reality is only God is here forever. And only God is the one who reigns on high forever. And so for us to just understand that our trust needs to be in a kingdom that will never perish, that will never fade, that will never go away. And so the anchor should be in God. We should anchor ourselves in that reality, that stability. And so that's why, again, the New Testament, what does it say? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Meaning that he will take care of every need that you need if you will just seek him. And that is what he's promised, not only in the New Testament, but all the way through the Old Testament that we read. He just keeps giving this promise over and over and over. If you follow me, good will come. If you don't follow me, destruction will come upon your life. And so he tells us to build in Matthew 7, which I alluded to already, build your house on a rock. Who's that rock? It's Jesus. Build your life on him. You pray for wisdom. In James chapter 1, 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God. He gives it generously to those who need it. In Philippians 4, 7, it tells us to embrace God's peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, you know. It is just amazing to trust in his faithfulness because he will never, ever let you down. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 Peter 5, 10. Then when we get to 36, there was a shift. Did you see it? Isaiah is just talking about all this prophecy and about all of how this is all going to play out. And then we get this real life like example in their history, in their moment of how this works. And so we have what I called Hezekiah's trust in God's rescue. Because there was a king, and there was very few of those, you know that, that actually went to God for help. And when he went to God for help, what did he get? A deaf ear? No, God was like, I hear you, Hezekiah, and I will answer your prayers. And so we have this narrative that shifts to a historical account of King Hezekiah, and he's facing, you know, the Assyrians, King Sennacherib. And I'm just going to get there. I'm going to read a little bit here. So I'm not going to read all of this, but I just want you to see this because in chapter 36, Sennacherib, he is from, you know, the Syrians are going to overtake God's people and Hezekiah. And he starts off with this guy who comes and he stands and he offers in a loud voice in the language of Judah. He says this, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Syria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah make your trust in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. The city will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me." And so you see what he's doing. He's trying to convince that his side is going to be victorious and your side is going to fail. And that's very common in our world today, again, right? Depending on what side of the room that you're on, both sides are saying, you better trust me because I'm going to be the only one standing at the end of the day, or we are going to go down in a heap. And this is what's going on. Do not trust in it. Listen to what he says. I just want you to see this. He says, "Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king, make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat of his own wine, and each of you will eat of his own fig tree, and each one will drink the water." So all this promise that he's given, until I come and take away the land like your own land. And then he says, "Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you by saying, the Lord will deliver you. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the Assyrians?" And so that is where we were. What do you think Hezekiah did? You think he just came up with his own speech and how I'm going to tear you another one and I'm going to be victorious with you, you know, over you? Now here's what he did. He humbled himself and he went to God. Because why? Because Hezekiah believed that stability actually was in God. And it wasn't in horses and chariots and whoever has the most money or whoever has the strongest this or that. It wasn't in man at all. It was just in God himself. And so we have this prayer that begins in chapter 37, verse 14. I'm going to start in 15. But it says, "And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, in all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste all the nations of their land and have cast their gods into the fire. But they were not God, but the works of men's hands and wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of earth may know that you alone are the Lord." What do you suppose happened? Some of you know, because it's in verse 36. of that chapter 37. And the angel of the Lord, now it doesn't say the troops of Hezekiah. He prayed to God to deliver him. And it says, and the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, there were all dead bodies everywhere. It's like Isaiah is sharing, telling us, over and over and over again, do not put your trust in worldly solutions, in earthly solutions. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in a kingdom that will withstand anything and everything, and nobody can bring it down. Seek God in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of whatever it is that you are struggling with. Seek Him to be your rescuer. And then he gives us this illustration, and when you do what Hezekiah does, you will get the exact same thing Hezekiah did, and that is God's help swooping down and either delivering you right away or leading you into victory in one way or another. So I don't know what it is that you are facing. I'm sure it's not the Assyrians. But it could be something that seems to look a lot like them. Big and bad and, you know, uttering all of these threats upon you, whether it's some kind of health thing, financial thing, relationship thing, whatever it is. God is the one that you ought to seek for your help. He's the one that actually can lead you to victory. He's the one that can give you a stability that is like building your house on a rock. And when the winds come, they are not going to move you. You're going to be able to withstand it. And the Assyrians were big and bad and ugly. And Hezekiah didn't have to do anything. The Lord fought for him. The Lord went into that camp and destroyed those enemies. And I just think that that's worth making note of, right? Look, stability and protection, solutions to those are offered every day. You turn on the TV and every commercial is trying to solve a problem that you have. But God is the answer to all of those problems. He is the one that is going to give you stability. We have to trust him. We're going to see a young man that has struggled for a while because he is like me, somewhat transparent. And for a long time, he just knew God was trying to get him to do something, but he was just not really wanting to just give in to that. He wanted to resist it. He went off to camp this past week, and we prayed for our campers. You all know that. And maybe it happened before. I don't know. But at some point here recently, God got through this young man, and just he realized that he needs to build his house on the rock and not on sinking sand. And so he is going to give his life to Jesus before us. He's going to be baptized into Jesus so that the Holy Spirit could come upon him and help him and strengthen him. And so we are going to watch how this has actually played out in our time. We got to see Hezekiah. Now we get to see this.